This is episode 74, recorded September 28th, 2012. Packet Pokes at Cross My Heart, Hope to Fly.
You're on in 3, 2, 1.
This is Packet Pokes at, and I'm poking at your news. Good evening, everyone. Welcome to another fine edition of Packard Pokes.
I am your immutable and unmutable host, Packard Sonic. And joining us out from the far, far right coast is not Eric. I don't know why I was thinking about Eric. It's Joe Unseen.
With the blast shield down, I can't even see. How am I supposed to fight?
Here's your lightsaber. Okay. And joining us from the far left coast is Medusa Rance.
Well, how am I going to follow that intro up?
I have a hard time
ahead of time.
That's right. He plans these. He takes weeks and he plans these.
May the force not be with you.
Oh, no.
I turn the force to stone.
I want to thank everybody for coming to the show tonight. We have some good stories here for you. So let's get into... actually, we have a correction for tonight. So let's get into that.
Uh-oh.
We goofed.
On last week's show, I was saying that we were talking about how many people you could marry in the Bible. And we were talking about one of the people in particular. I stated that King Solomon had over 100 wives and 50 to 75 concubines. It turns out, according to the 1 Kings 11, 1 through 3, indicates that King Solomon had 700 wives and 300 concubines. So, over 100 is 700. Still over 100, anyways.
Give or take a few wives.
Yeah.
What's a few hundred concubines here and there?
Yeah, sure, why not?
Really, who's counting?
Yeah. So anyway, well, let's get into our tech stories for this evening. Out in the universe, which is such a amazing. You know, the nice thing about the universe is that you don't need to have or to believe in the universe to know it's there. You can just look out in the sky and see it. The weird things that you can find. We are discovering such beautiful, amazing things every day. Now it finds out that NASA has found the Chandra. The NASA Chandra shows that the Milky Way is actually surrounded by a halo of hot gas, which is really cool. They say that the X-ray Observatory found that evidence of the Milky Way is embedded by an enormous halo of hot gas that extends for hundreds of thousands of light years. And the estimated mass of the halo is comparable to all the mass in the stars in the galaxy. And the temperature of it, now get this, it is between 100,000 and 1 million kelvins. That is like the mass of the gas that's out there is equivalent to more than 100 billion suns, or perhaps as large as 60 billion suns. That is a lot. That is huge numbers. Joe, your thoughts?
This article says that it solves the mystery of the missing Byrons, and I had no idea the Byrons were missing until I read this article.
Yeah, and me neither. I didn't know they were missing. I didn't even see them on the milk cartons.
The Byrons on the milk cartons.
That was good.
Well, you know, the amazing thing about this halo is, as you mentioned, it's so big and so massive, and they're thinking it could be as big as a couple hundred thousand light years, and then it might even stretch out into other neighboring and orbiting galaxies like the Magellanic Clouds and stuff, and that's pretty cool.
Yes.
And like you were saying, between 1 and 2.5 million kelvins, that makes it hotter than the surface of the sun by a few hundred times.
Oh yeah, at least.
So this is super hot gas that the Milky Way is just spinning in on, and it's outside the Milky Way. It's a halo around it. So
you know what it reminds me of? Have you ever seen Men in Black 1? And they start doing the zoom out and they show everything. The aliens sold the marbles and everything's in these round things. That's what that reminded me of. It's like that. Maybe they were right. Maybe we are in a marble.
My marbles never got above 500,000 kelvins.
No, mine never did either. Of course, the last time they did, they melted right through my floor. Medusa, your thoughts?
Well, this is, as usual, way over my little tiny head. But the photography was beautiful. The thought that I had is in a world which has an energy crisis, how do we harness that type of power?
That would be cool.
Think about it.
Yeah.
That would solve our energy problems if we could figure out a way to do it, you know, forever.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, the thing is, just with our own sun, I mean, if the energy the sun puts out just in just a couple of hours, if we could harness just that alone, we could solve the energy crisis for either a year or 10 years, just in just a few hours that the sun puts out alone. So that would, yeah, but the energy there, that would be amazingly for forever, would be a good word for that, right?
And it would be for free, too, and that would eliminate my Lodi electricity bill, and I would be very happy.
Well, you know, they got to make some way to make some money on that somewhere.
Well, that's what I was thinking about.
Yeah. All right, well, let's get into our next story here. If you've ever had someone out there who's stalking you, you don't want to, they don't want anybody to know where you're at. Well, if you have this app on your phone, it's called Foursquare. And people have been using it. I've used it myself, where you go somewhere and you say, hey, I'm over here. I'm checking in. Or, sometimes they say, for the ladies, if you're going to be using this app, check in as you're leaving. So this way, if someone is stalking you, you will already be gone before they figure out, oh, well, they're over here, and you don't know where they're at now. Now there's an option on this application to be always on. So they can track you all the time. You're just going to be, it'll be able to follow you to your house, to your work. You know, if you're carrying this thing to your bathroom, I'm sure it'll see you back and forth. Inside your house there, you know, house, trailer, whatever you're living in, cardboard box. Personally, I don't think I want to have someone have that on all the time. And personally, I stopped using the Foursquare app last year, but I wouldn't want someone to know where I lived, for example, or what route I would take every day. What was that?
It's very voyeuristic.
Yes,
it's very voyeuristic.
Yes, it is.
It's true. Society into a bunch of voyeurs.
Yeah.
And they think they have the right to know what you're doing all the time.
Yeah. Well, some people like that, I suppose. Joe, your thoughts?
I have 10 mayorships on Foursquare right now.
Uh-huh.
I just claimed the mayorship of a deli today, actually.
Woohoo!
Maybe I'm misunderstanding
okay.
The article. I read it. Huh?
No, go ahead, Joe.
Oh. I read it, and you know, I always wondered, like, how come the people who live near me, I could see, like, push notifications from them, but people who live on the other side of the world that I follow, I never get any notification from them.
Yeah,
and
I
think
wondered
what
that myself.
It is if you switch this to always on,
uh-huh.
then you can get notifications from them even if they're in, like, Australia or Chicago or L.A. or whatever.
Huh.
Ooh,
what I think is how this is working. And so you can actually go and turn on people that you want to follow. Like, I actually recently started following Dan on Foursquare.
Hmm.
And the only way I could see where he's been is if I look at the Foursquare app and scroll through the timeline. But, like, I guess if I turn him to always on, then it would send me a notification like, Dan is at the grocery store.
Oh, okay. See, now I was thinking it was following you. Like, see, I've got another app I use. I use it for my personal when I'm out training. Just exercising. And it shows everywhere I've been, even if I cross the street somewhere.
Was it the Nike jogging one?
No, it's called... I have to look at it. It's called Runkeeper, actually. And,
okay.
And that one, it shows my exact path wherever I go. So,
yeah, that's cool.
Yeah.
I mean, I would use that if I went hiking.
Yeah, and that way you could find your way back that way. And it shows you a map of where you've been. Well, you have to be on the computer, I suppose. But it's kind of cool. Anyway, that's what I thought it was. But maybe I misread it, or I just haven't used the apps in a while, so I really don't know. I haven't tested it.
Well, Yeah, I mean, I only just got into Foursquare, and when I first got into it, I was like, oh, I'm only going to check into cool places, but my local friends, I get notifications from them, and they're checking in all over the place. Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, it's so on. I got to steal mayorships from them. We've gotten into mayorship fights. It's actually kind of fun.
I actually had over 165 mayorships at one time.
Get out of here. Mm-hmm. Damn, you were a Foursquare junkie.
I was.
I think the first tweet I replied to you on was one of your Foursquare check-ins. I asked you about the newspaper you were always checking into. I was like, wow, you work for a newspaper? You're like, no, I'm just there every day.
Which is absolutely true.
That's great. It's like you show up early for school, Packard. That's so geeky.
Yes.
And ask for more homework, too.
Yeah. Do you have any other thoughts there, Medusa?
Well, I kind of like getting my cutoffs and leave my smartphone behind and don't want people to know where I am all the time, because I think it is a voyeuristic society we live in, with reality shows and people tweeting their every private moment. But, you know, if you had a kid, if you had a teenager, and you wanted to know where that teenager was, and I own one, and I do, it would be a useful app. I could see the potential for that would be very useful.
Well, you attached a homing device to his ear, right?
Well, we're going to chip our kids soon, so that's going to be it. It's good enough for Fido. It's good enough for Freddy.
I heard they have parental LoJacks that you can put into cars and see where your kids take their cars.
Yeah, you can do that. Yeah. There are apps you can – actually, there's one you put right in the thing. It'll tell you how fast they've been going, which direction they've been going. You can actually – in some cars, you can actually set it so when it's loaded into the car cannot go above 35, 45 miles or whatever speed you decide you want to set it to. But
look at that gadget that Progressive Insurance has that you can just plug into your lighter, and it charts your good driving so that you get a reduced rate. I mean, I just don't like being followed around that much.
Yeah,
right. I don't want people to know who I am. I want to preserve my anonymity in this society.
Yeah, I don't mind, you know, where I've been, but I decided one day, is like, because I had an issue with that, because I was logging in and they was reducing my points. Like, what the heck's going on? These other people are logging in more than I've got, and they're getting more points. And mine was like, oh, they kept giving me all these crap responses. I just screw you. I'm done with you people. So
I just got on Foursquare today, so I'm just finding out what it is. I don't even know what a mayorship is.
Yeah, that's where you get more check-ins than anybody else, and you become the mayor of the place there. Some places where if you become the mayor, you get special deals, discounts on food or devices or whatever. It doesn't happen too often, but it's
sometimes even check-ins will give you a coupon to wherever you're at.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and you
just go, I got a coupon here, says I get 20% off getting my hair done. You know,
I get 20% off the latte.
Yeah.
So I'm going to have to follow Medusa on Foursquare, because I cannot stand going through a day without knowing whether or not she went to the supermarket.
Or if I made big potty.
I actually had so many check-ins on one of them. I had several people go, man, you're just checking too much. It's just too much noise on my timeline. So I was like, well, I thought about it for a couple of days. I said, "Oh yeah, all right, that's fine." And I just after that, I shut it off going to Twitter at that point, and then I just took it off. Right. I just got rid of it shortly after that.
I feel the same way. Like, I only like tweet my check-in because it gives you the option to toggle it on or off.
Mm-hmm.
So I only tweet the check-in if I'm going somewhere really cool. Like, I've tweeted from like Times Square and things like that. So you know, but if I'm like, you know, going to the supermarket to steal a mayorship from my friend, then I'm not going to tweet that.
Yeah. Well, let's get into our next topic. Politics, 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 politics. Scott Brown is out. Is a real piece of work. He has got to be one of the people that has got to be the most racist people that's running out in the in politics right now. He's having a controversy with a lady her name is Warren, and apparently she has purported that, you know, she has some American Native American blood in her,
And he says, well, you can just look at her and see that she isn't an Indian. She is white. Well, you know, there's a lot of people. I know a lot of people that have more than one heritage of blood, race, whatever in them. And if you look at Will Rogers, for example, or...
It was the president of, like, the Cherokee Nation or something.
Yeah, the president of the Cherokee Nation. And, of course, then, like I said, Will Rogers. They also have Cherokee blood. I mean, if you look at them, they look white, too.
I do, too, and I'm a member of the Cherokee Nation.
You see, there you go. And I know other people that, like that. There are other people, and for example, people who are technically, genetically, are black, but they are so light-skinned, they often pass as white. If he's going to go and say, hey, well, this person claims they're black, but he's like, oh, you look white to me, who the hell are you to decide what they are just by looks? I mean, it's like saying, oh, that person looks good, that person looks okay. They could have an infection, for example. It's like, oh, no, they look like they're safe. You can't tell by looking. You just cannot tell by looking genetics or diseases or anything like that. Anybody with half a brain can tell you that. Joe, your thoughts?
Yeah, I saw the video of Scott Brown's staffers doing the tomahawk chop and doing the chin. Oh, and I was like, wow, that's just offensive. That's racist. And, you know, I saw the clips from the debate as well where he's just like, you know, she checked the Native American box, but look at her, she's white. Like, you know, like you said, there's so many people out there who quote unquote look white, but who have, you know, Native American blood in them or blood of mixed race heritage, you know, and there's no way to tell just by looking at someone. You got to look at someone's family tree, and, you know, a lot of family tree history is oral tradition. It's just what your parents told you or your grandparents told you. So, you know, this is what you go by. Yep. You know, it's not like, you know, really scientific.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, and I had a discussion with somebody on Twitter, and I think we all know who it was.
I don't, but that's okay.
Who was it?
Let me guess. Let's say he doesn't have any thoughts. We had. He was actually defending him and says, "Oh well, why don't you just you know these people they're just that dressed up like this and they're doing all these things there. It's like." Why don't you go after these people because if they're playing baseball and stuff? It's like, no, this is not the same thing. These people went and did this deliberately.
Mm-hmm.
There's no excuse for this, really. I mean, and they said, well, what about the president or not the president, but the vice president who made those racist remarks? That was a gaffe. He didn't set out to make a racist comment. He just, you know, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to say that. I just said something I really shouldn't have because it was just kind of a off the cuff thing.
But wait a minute, the vice president makes gaffes? Are you
imagine
serious?
That. Biden's good for gaffes. But he didn't get dressed up like an Indian and started going doing the whole tomahawk chop thing there. And that's completely different from a gaffe. Yeah. That's doesn't make any.
That's a foobar.
Yeah, that's a foobar. Exactly. He had just a little fuck up on his comments, but he didn't. If he'd gotten dressed up and went and got into a tomahawk chop thing, there, that is blatant, straight out racism right there. Big difference. Did I already get your comment, Joe, or no?
Yeah. I went. I think Medusa goes next.
Okay, Medusa, your comments.
Well, you guys pretty much covered what I was going to say. Is that Turk? As a member of the Cherokee Nation, I found it offensive, too. I didn't realize did he actually dress up?
Some of his staffers actually did this. He said, and the thing was, they were, he said, oh, well, I haven't gotten around to disciplining them yet. Or he said they may have been disciplined, but nobody's lost their job. You know, if it had been a Democrat had done this, the Republicans would be calling for his head.
This is the first I've heard of it, yeah. Absolutely, they would be calling for his head on a platter.
And tell them all those people got to be fired, and they would have insisted on nothing less. But
what I heard was that in the video, the guys doing the tomahawk chops, Scott Brown was like, oh, well, you know, those supporters, I don't agree with what they're doing. But then somebody was like, wait a minute, these people in the video are your paid staffers. They're not just your supporters. These are the people on your payroll that were out there on the street doing this. And I'm like, oh, really?
Yeah, he's such a liar. He's such a liar. It's not even funny. The people like this just make me just irritated because they think they can get away with their racism. These people who are racist like this are a dying breed. They know it, but they're still pushing it. So they're pushing even harder now, and it just goes to the whole mindset of the Republican Party right now that they think because they're white they're right,
or they should be public servants and should be helping the Indians out rather than denigrating them and making fun of them.
Yes.
You know.
Absolutely. It just blows my mind.
It's a foobar. It can't be fixed.
Yeah. No, that's more than a foobar. When you get dressed up and do that, that's not a foobar. That's intent.
Yeah.
All right. Well, on to our next story here. If you're out in California and you have a driverless car, you can get a Toyota Prius that has that's driverless, and you can drive on the highways. Yay! The bill is put forth by Democratic Senator Alex Padilla. It said it will establish safety and performance regulations to test and operate the autonomous vehicles on state highways and the roads. He says, quote, today we're looking at science fiction becoming tomorrow's reality, the self-driving car, unquote. So, and the funniest part of this story, which I thought was just kind of blew my mind, because people always bitch at Congress for being behind the times when it comes to technology. They're like playing catch up, four steps behind the technology, and this guy, the Alliance of Automobile Manufacturers expressed concern that California is moving too quickly to embrace self-driving cars and needs to first sort out liability issues. So you're damned if you do and damned if you don't. They're trying to do the right thing, so they're pushing, they're trying to get the keep up with the technology, but they're saying, oh, technology, slow down, buddy boy. We got to figure out what's going to happen here first. So if you make up your goddamn minds, if you want technology to be caught up with our legislation or not, but when it is, don't bitch if you've been bitching about it, because it's not. Joe, your thoughts?
You know, I cannot wait until I can go down the road with the wheel in one hand and a bottle of tequila in the other. Yeah.
Woohoo!
Woohoo! Woohoo! Once again, California is leading the way into the future.
Mm-hmm.
My only concern is that this might put, this technology is still new. It's still a few years down the road before we're going to start seeing this in on the streets in reality. But my only concern is that it might put taxi and limo drivers out of business if they finally figure out, like, okay, these cars are safe and there doesn't need to be a human behind the wheel.
Mm-hmm.
Then we could just have these vehicles go on autopilot and pick up people and take them where they're going to go. Because, like, you know, a friend of mine, he drives a limo. He makes pretty decent money doing it. So, or not a limo, a taxi. But, but the current legislation does say that the cars must have a human in the driver's seat to take over in an emergency.
Yeah. It's so, a licensed driver.
But that's this law. I mean, eventually, once the technology is proven, they might change it.
Yeah. Yeah, well, it does say there has to be a licensed driver. So they were saying that if someone's intoxicated or blind, they could use this. But, I mean, I think, like you said, the future legislation on this may cover that if they're
intoxicated. That would be even better, going down the highway with sunglasses and one of those canes in your hand in the driver's seat.
Yes.
Just, like, looking, like, into the distance, like, not even forward even.
You got the Stevie Wonder look going on. Oh, yeah. Can you see that going down the highway?
Here they are making driverless cars, and supposedly we're supposed to have the flying car now. I want to know when we're going to have the flyerless car.
Oh, there you go. Oh, we have those. They're called drones.
Yeah, but you can't ride around in them.
There was an episode of Futurama that said, we have these manless drones, but there's men in them. Yeah, but I control them all from here. So.
Dawkins Dog in the chat room just said that wait until there's an accident caused by a driverless car, then the manufacturer will be culpable and they'll be banned.
Yeah.
And that's something the article actually did address. It said that that the law that they passed did not provide protection for the manufacturer of these things.
Oh.
That it was just,
I think
they were just okaying it the initial phase of them onto the roads. But he's absolutely right. I mean, the second one of these things kills somebody, it's going to be like, oh boy.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you know, we've had a lot of cars, they just start with the cruise control just goes out of whack, and it just starts accelerating, supposedly, and the person just can't stop the car for whatever reason. So that will happen. I mean, I'm sure there's going to be accidents. I mean, but
all right, driverless Priuses, they don't stop anyway.
Yes. But it's just kind of cool. Medusa, your thoughts?
It is kind of cool. Unfortunately, California is the third state to do this. Florida and Nevada beat us to the punch. Uh-huh. So we just refined the safety laws more in California than the other two states did. I think it goes without saying that Florida has no safety regulations whatsoever in its state. Uh-huh. But this is a great idea, you know. I mean, it's a bummer you have to be in the car, because I can see this going to the grocery store and coming back. I mean, it just makes it so much easier. You can hold your phone in your hand, your tablet, you can have that in your hand, you know, and know you're going to get safely back to your destination.
Yep.
It helps a lot of people who are I don't want to say handicapped, handy-abled. They're have certain challenges, but they can definitely take advantage of these cars, and I think that's where the miracle lies in this great science behind this, rather, lies behind this.
Yeah.
And I think we'll see within the next decade that they'll be used for that purpose a lot.
You know, the thing is, though, when eventually, I mean, this could get into, besides from cars, we can move into bigger vehicles, trucks, trains. Airplanes already.
They've been talking about driverless trucks for a while.
Oh, yeah. And the thing is, the only problem with that is
you'd be out of a job.
That's one problem. But that a lot of places these trucks could go to, that there's always something going on. That there's road construction and whatnot, and they'll need to have someone in the truck to get around these things here. That's why plus you have to have invoices signed and whatnot, so you still need a driver for that. I mean, at least I think so anyway. So,
okay. Well, they've come up with those credit card transfers via your smartphone, and that neat smartphone where you can just download your playlist onto. To another playlist by putting the backs together.
Right. Yeah. So, but this is since I work in the industry. I mean, because we deliver shipments of goods, and the goods have to be signed for. This is not a matter of payment. This is just a matter of showing that the delivery was picked up and put away, or
could they
picked
put
up
some
and delivered.
Kind of like a thumb scanner or something on the side of the truck? Be like, yep, what you sent us was in the truck.
That's
a possibility too. But they'd have to train all the. There's a lot of training there too.
But still, we're taking jobs away from people. Mm-hmm. Are we all going to be on vacation for the rest of our lives? Where's our money, our support going to come from?
Yeah.
So that concerns me in an economy where we need to make jobs. We're taking jobs away.
Well, you know, the thing is.
You have to be careful.
You know, the thing is, though, when the first machines that were in the factories were built, took away a lot of jobs, too. So people just relearned a new skill. And so there's always it's the same old story, where when the machine steps in, then people get pushed out. And we just have to learn to keep retraining and advancing ourselves. Eventually, we get to a point, hopefully, that where we won't have to do a lot of manual labor work, whatever, and risk people's lives. Like, when I go out on the road, and especially in the wintertime, the roads are very icy, and I have a chance of sliding off and getting into an accident or getting killed even. And that's not something I relish thinking about every winter. Mm-hmm. So if this would help take if this took away my job for just in the wintertime alone, I would be happy to retrain and go back to school and find something else.
Considering that most automobile accidents are human error, I would agree with you very much.
So far, the automated cars are safer than just people driving around in cars.
Yes.
So.
Right.
exactly. Especially it'd be if the people in driverless cars stay away from us, the guys in the trucks.
That's a good one.
I could go on and on about stuff that I see out on the road with people just not paying attention when they're driving. I could go on for hours.
Sometimes it's scary, especially when on the highway and you see someone like driving half off the road and there's like weeds and dirt getting flown up and you're like, dude, wake up, wake up, wake up.
Right. All right. Well, let's get into our next topic.
Give me the news.
When people get married, usually the woman gets her name changed. They have the woman takes the guy's last name. This gentleman out in Mississippi, he decided to take his wife's last name. He had a good couple reasons. One, that his misspelling was one, and mispronounced was another one. He's probably you get people with weird last names that are really strange. You know, for example, I'll give you a perfect name. If you go to the grocery store, you see Chef Boyardee. He actually had his name misspelled intentionally on the labels so it would be pronounced the way it sounds. That's a fact. If you want to look that up, you go right ahead. But that's what his reasons were. That's one of the reasons. Plus, the fact is that his wife was the only child, and their parents had passed away, so he wanted to carry on their name. He went to court. Had his Social Security card changed, and had some other papers drawn up. He went to get the license, and they said no. And then you had to go back with documents showing that he had. It shows that in the state it says it could be a him or her for the name change, and the driver's license place, the state basically said, we're still not going to change it. So he had to contact the ACLU to get his so he could get his name changed, and finally, after all that, finally he was able to take his wife's name. I don't understand. I know it's not traditional, but. What difference does it make if I have a penis or a vagina? Whose name do I take? What the hell does that matter? Joe, your thoughts.
When I'm getting married, no matter what her name is, I'm changing my name to Sonic. I mean,
that's what I'm changing my name to.
I am married, and. When we went and filled out our marriage licenses, it had "What is your name now?" is one box that you filled in, and the next box was "What do you want your name after you're married?" And you could just put whatever you wanted. And I got married up in Massachusetts, and you know, I know a lot of couples out there where the spouses, where both spouses hyphenate their names, where they just take each other's names and they do it that way. Some people don't change their names; they just keep whatever name they happen to have. And then, you know, people are always like, well, what are you going to name the kids? I mean, you can do whatever you want when you name the kids. You can give – I knew a family where they agreed the first child would have the mother's last name and the second child would have the father's last name, you know, regardless of sex.
Oh, that's cool.
The son had the mother's last name and the daughter had the father's last name.
What if that last name was Odor? I had
– Odor?
Odor.
Odor. If my last name was Odor, I'd take somebody else's last name just to get rid of that.
I've argued for years with women. I'm like, why would you change your name? Like, just keep your name. There's no reason. It's patriarchy is bullshit. And they would be like, listen, my name is like 13 letters long and has 4 syllables.
Jeez.
I am changing it to whatever it is.
You know,
as long as it's simpler to sign.
You know what's funny is that when a lot of immigrants came to this country, and they gave the people their names, and they could the people who were writing these names are like they get fatigued, you know, and they're like, "What's your name?" Oh, Smith. And you can look that up too. That's historical fact because they didn't know how to pronounce these people's names or much less spell half of them. So there's your
immigrants coming in.
Yeah,
they would like, just my name is Lebowski, and they're like, no, your name is Smith.
Yeah, that's exactly it. They would be Smith.
No,
I think that was partly them Americanizing everybody.
Yeah. What is it, Medusa?
The Big Lebowski.
Yeah.
The Big Lebowski.
The Big Lebowski. But yes. That's brilliant along the same lines. It's just it was government intervening, say, yeah, we're just going to give you this instead. But it's not exactly the same, but it's along the same lines. Whether a guy wants to take a woman's last name is not, it should make a difference. You're both human.
Exactly. It should be up to them. They're making the decision to get married. It should be up to them what they want to do with their names.
Yes, exactly. Medusa, your thoughts?
IDC.
Say that again?
IDC.
IDC?
An acronym for I don't care. I don't care what you call yourself. I mean, Frank Zappa named his kids, you know, Moon Unit and
Zappa.
Zippo or whatever. What does it matter?
Moon I mean, base, this man wasn't it Moonbase Alpha or something?
Bureaucratic political red tape. IDC. He can call himself whatever he wants. If he doesn't like that, let him come to California where you can do whatever you want to do here.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently.
Yeah. It's, well, out in California, hey, they got cars to drive by themselves, so.
Medusa, he wasn't the Lebowski. The other guy was the Lebowski. He's the dude.
That's right, yeah. Man. And he drinks Caucasians.
Yeah, there's a beverage here.
You know, the funny thing was, until the ACLU stepped in, these people didn't want to capitulate to the, even with the evidence in front of them, said, hey, I can change my name to this. So
what's cool about that?
I have always had to spell my
name. No, it's cool that just the fact is, you know, well, that the ACLU was able to step in. They just said, hey, you got to do this. And they just like, oh, ACLU.
Yep. No. What's cool about that is when the ACLU stepped in, they didn't have to sue anybody. They didn't have to litigate. It all they had to do is send a letter. And sometimes that's enough. That's all you need is like, hey, listen, you guys are violating federal law here. This guy can do what you're telling him he can't do.
That's right.
And we're going to back him on it. And so, you know, a lot of times these, podunk towns or states that don't know any better will back down on that kind of letter or pressure. They're just like, okay, we didn't even realize we were breaking the law here.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I'm sure they didn't.
What? They didn't what?
I'm sure they didn't know they were breaking the law. I bet you a lot of these places, they do know they're breaking the law. They just don't give a damn.
I don't know if they knew they were breaking the law, but the article did say that the state made the excuse like, oh, the people who are operating the DMV office were operating on an old policy. They weren't updated to the new policy. That might have just been their excuse,
That's
but,
exactly
I it. Mean, that's what they said. So, but they let the guy do what he wanted to do and change his name.
Yeah. But the fact is that they had to go through all that rigmarole.
It shouldn't have been contention in the first place.
Right, exactly. Right. Exactly. Right.
Well, now Mississippi knows better.
At least in that town it does, anyway.
Well, at least in that regard they do. They got a lot of fetching up to do.
Yes. Our next story here. If you're on an airplane and there's a fire on the airplane, and which, you know, you don't want to have a fire on the airplane because it's dangerous and you could die. But if you're lucky enough to get back down to the ground, you'll be in good shape. That actually happened to Mitt Romney's wife. They had a fire on the plane, and no, this is not the politics section, my friends. the thing is, though, when he was talking about this, and I have a little clip we'll be playing here. And when you hear this, you're gonna hit your head so hard, you're gonna fall over in your chairs. When you're up in the air, I mean, real high in the air, these planes are pressurized. So this way you don't pass out from oxygen deprivation.
Literally.
Romney apparently doesn't know how airplanes work because he wonders why you can't roll down a window on an airplane. If you think I'm kidding, here's the clip.
I appreciate the fact that she is on the ground, safe and sound, and she knows just how worried some of us were. When you have a fire in an aircraft, there's no place to go exactly. There's no, and you can't find any oxygen from outside the aircraft to get in the aircraft because the windows don't open. I don't know why they don't do that, but it's a real problem.
He said the windows don't open. You can't roll them down. Apparently someone's never watched Goldfinger. No, I'm kidding. actually, they covered this on...
They covered it in the Twilight Zone.
Yeah, no, they covered this... actually, they covered this on... Well, Twilight Zone's not a scientific thing there. I was going to...
It is when William Shatner's on it.
Yes.
He was on two episodes.
That's right, dang it.
They actually covered this on Mythbusters, the whole Goldfinger thing. That would never happen, but you would lose air compression and you would die of loss of oxygen. You wouldn't fly out the window, but come on. This guy is running for president. He doesn't know why they don't put rolled-out windows on an airplane. The comments on this page were hilarious.
Some of the best ones says, here's an idea, Matt. Why don't you make a plane that has those rolled-out windows and you and your Republican buddy can go up and take a flight and check them out? Let me see how that works out for you. So, yeah, go ahead. I'd like to see that myself. Or how about you put a sub... How about... Why don't you... If you become president, you could put screen doors on submarines. That works just as well. Joe, your thoughts?
I don't know why he's so confused. They stopped plane windows from rolling up and down when they banned smoking on international and domestic flights. Duh.
That reminds me of the movie Airplane. He says, you got to put that out. And the lady rolls down. She pulls down the window literally and throws the cigarette out the window. And you see planes flying around.
Like all the air rushes through.
Right. And then she slams it back up. Like
I was talking to a coworker today, actually, and he told me that when he was a little kid back in the 70s, in the early 70s, he remembers flying on an airplane and the stewardesses used to smoke. Like, yeah. They used to sit in those junk seats
that.
When they weren't doing anything, and they would just sit there and smoke.
Yeah.
Like, you know, all three of them. And he was sitting there like a little kid, just like, okay, this is no big deal. We're all sitting around, and the steward is cigarette smoke.
That's when you used to get real steel wings, too. Not those tape-on wings they give you now.
They don't even let you visit the cockpit anymore.
No. Yeah, they got that stuff bolted down from the inside. You can't talk to the pilots, nobody.
Well, plus the pilot's packing now, so, you know.
Oh, yeah.
I heard a flight attendant got stopped recently trying to bring a loaded gun onto the plane.
Yeah, I heard about that, too. She must have thought she was an air marshal, apparently.
She's like, it's okay. I serve the drinks and I'm an air marshal.
Yet another reason not to fly.
Would you like a gin and tonic or a 45 automatic? Please.
I'll
so
take them
you
both.
Didn't tip?
Thank you.
Frick yourself!
Where's my tip, damn it?
Wait, there's snakes on this plane.
I just don't want a Romney on the plane. Forget the snakes.
No,
I don't want a Romney
Romneys.
On. I'll take
they're Remkins.
I'll take a snake on the plane over Romney every day. But just your thoughts.
Well, my thoughts were those. I just interjected them.
Yes, I've seen that.
Pure hogwash. I mean, and this man wants to be elected president, and people will vote for him. That's what scares me about this country. Is that people will vote for him. He will get pity votes for being stupid.
I don't want anybody that's this stupid and has magic underwear in the head of the office of the President of the United States.
A lot of people are going to vote for him and bless the Electoral College because that's who votes for the president anyway.
Yeah.
So I'm parking my car in their garage and hoping that those 170 go Obama's way.
Yeah, I'm hearing the way I'm hearing it. It doesn't look like Romney's have much of a chance. We've got less than 40 days out. The guy has a gaffe every freaking hour or so. What's that?
The debates haven't happened yet. Yeah. There's going to be four debates, three presidential, one vice presidential.
Yeah. Oh, I'm just waiting for these.
He could get a bump from the debates. Like, you can't call it now.
No, I'm not.
Just because he's gaffing it up.
Yeah.
He's done well the debates. He made through all the...
That's something they're
those,
saying.
Those
exactly
are preliminaries.
What Medusa's saying. He's gotten so much debate experience in the primaries that, you know, he's got more experience now than Obama.
Well, he's got the debate. Yeah, he can talk a good talk, but...
But Obama has the brain, and that's the important
thing. Yeah, you can tell a snake oil salesman and from somebody that knows what the hell they're doing just by listening to him. Easy.
I love my stepfather. His name is Dan, but I would not vote for him to be president.
Yeah.
And he's a lot like Romney, okay?
Well, I don't know. How does Dan feel about certain issues that I care about? Like, one issue out of all of them that...
He throws the phone in the sink.
Oh, that's a good place for it.
Hey, I am pro-sync phone and I vote.
You what?
We got into a discussion of Social Security benefits for people who are mildly handicapped. Uh-huh. He got so incensed about that, he threw the phone in the sink. So we don't talk politics, religion, or sex anymore.
Well, maybe he thought the phone was dirty.
I think he thought I was dirty.
You're such a dirty girl.
I'm the black sheep. I'm the one who says what she means when she means it. They hate me.
I like what Random Access stand on the channel. The movie where the grown man, you see where your grown man naked? So yeah, that would be the movie. So.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Wayne's been throwing in airplane quotes in the chat room for a few of them now. They're pretty funny.
Yeah, I know. I saw that. It's pretty funny. All right.
Do you have a penis? That's my favorite one.
Yeah.
I don't know. Do you?
I don't know. Do you? All right. Well, let's get into our next topic. The Australian Roman Catholic Church has finally come out and admitted child sex abuse. The church has confirmed that they've had over 600 abuses that have been by priests since the 1930s. They're quoted saying that the figures are horrific and shameful, and I agree. They are horrific and shameful. There is no 600 people. 600 people. That's a small, unincorporated town.
That's a small school.
600 mm-hmm. people. These people, the thing is that people still think religion is okay. And priests are okay. Then you'd say, you can't trust anybody. If you can't trust your priest, who can you trust? I wouldn't trust the priest as far as I could throw him.
And people tend to trust the Catholic Church above all others.
Yes, they do. And it says the church has 620 cases that go back 80 years, and the majority of them taking place in the 1960s and the 1980s. And they're still investigating even more. They have 45 more on the docket yet. They're still investigating.
What shocks me is that that's only one branch of the Catholic Church.
Yeah, and that's only one branch. Imagine what they would have if they had more.
Everybody else is in denial.
Yes. Yeah, well, I'm not in Egypt either, but these people apparently think they are. They said that the true number of victims may be close to 10,000 in Victoria alone. The 10,000 people. That is a city. That's a lot of molestation.
Mm-hmm.
Joe, your thoughts.
Does the Pope shit in the woods? This is a little surprise to me. The Catholic Church has a decades-long history of condoning and covering up pedophilia among its priests, and it seems they felt that they were so revered and holy that they'd always get away with it. But now we live in an age of information and communication and dirty little secrets like this. They tend to get dragged kicking and screaming into the light. So, mm-hmm. Big surprise, this kind of stuff first broke in Ireland, and it's why Sinead O'Connor ripped up a picture of the Pope on Saturday Night Live, and everybody was like, Why is she doing that?
Mm-hmm.
And it's because, like, here in America, we had no clue this was going on yet, but in Ireland, they were very well aware of it. They were like, holy shit, So, here we are, literally, it's 2012, it's 20 years later, and it's still coming to light. Like, here now, Australia's... The Catholic Church in Australia is finally admitting it. So,
jeez, I remember hearing about that. I had no idea why. That's why she was. I thought she was just boycotting the church or whatever, just making her stand.
Oh no, it wasn't either a boycott of the church or a publicity stunt. It was because in Ireland at that time, like back in Ireland, everybody was like, "Oh yeah, hell yeah, Sinead, rip up that picture of the Pope," because all the priest abuse scandal was just starting to break.
Well, that's what it was.
It was just starting to come out. But in America, nobody had heard of it. And everybody was just like, oh, why did that Irish girl rip up? Oh, I can't believe she did that.
Yeah.
And like when I was a teenager, I thought it was like religious rebellion as well. I was like, hell yeah, go Sinead. But like, years later, I actually looked into it and I was like, oh, there's actually a backstory to it. So,
yeah. And then they turn around and say, oh, well, fuck you, Sinead. We're going to take and smash a whole shitload of your CDs.
It ruined her American career.
Yeah, it did.
But she still remained popular in Europe. She's on the music festival circuit.
Yeah, you know, the thing was, even though they smashed all those CDs and records or whatever, tapes, they still had someone had to pay for them. So she still got the money for it. So
right, exactly.
It's not like they just stole them from the stores and said, hey, you're going to take these.
Here's the donation basket. Run to the local record store and buy all of Sinead's records so we can smash them on the news cameras.
More popular than burning books.
Yeah, exactly. It's just so.
The Nazis didn't pay for their books; they just emptied libraries.
Right, exactly. Medusa, your thoughts? Even though you gave most of them while I was talking about it.
Well, yeah, this is true. I just wonder why the entire Catholic Church hasn't come forward and untransparently say that they have this problem. They've had a sexuality problem now for hundreds of years. If you go back to the other popes, the Medici's, and even before them, uh-huh. they were marrying their daughters and having procreating heirs to the throne of the pope, the papacy. But I don't see how you can trust that these cases will be resolved to any degree. You know, we look to the church, the faithful look to the church for all sorts of matters. On marriage, for instance, why would I want to go consult a virgin on marriage?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, in Greek church, our priests have to get married. They have to have kids because they have to know what it's like to go around the block, so to speak.
Yeah.
So the fact that they're looking into the inquiry to assist the healing of those, these are the abusers. Was your rapist going to help me feel better about being raped?
Yeah.
That's what I find really offensive, is that the Catholic Church is coming forward and saying, oh, we're going to help you now. After we've gotten done abusing you, we're going to rape you all over again mentally. I mean, do you really want to sit there with, essentially, your rapist?
Yeah. And,
you know.
Oh, exactly. That's exactly it, too. And it's just, that's like saying if you want to take your car to someone who only works on motor scooters and they don't know anything about cars.
And then you complain about, you know, your car not running right.
Exactly.
Well, go figure.
Yeah, figure so that one out.
Really makes me incensed. Those are my thoughts. I get a little hot around the edges, but we had our own scandals here in Stockton, California, where I live, which is about 40 minutes from San Francisco or Sacramento, the capital. Uh-huh. So Father O'Grady was the big one we had here, and it was just a few blocks at the Annunciation, down the blocks from us.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I don't think they should be the ones offering the consolatory hand of help.
No, I don't think so either. Yeah,
that's how I feel.
Yeah, that's like putting a chocolate eclair in a man who's dieting.
Right,
It just doesn't work. I mean, that's why I've been dieting. I mean, I stay away from the chocolate eclairs.
The Catholic Church has made itself archaic. You know.
Yeah.
The reason why the popes couldn't get married is because they fooled around too much.
Oh yeah.
So we get celibate priests.
Now we're in the
21st century, and we've got celibate priests who don't know how to give people proper marital advice, or how to take care of your child who was raped by the local priest in your parish. Where do you go for help?
Yes, exactly.
That's a point I wanted to make, Medusa, based on what you said earlier. These people, they're not allowed to marry, they're not allowed to have kids, and yet they give people family advice and marital advice.
Yeah.
You know, like,
it doesn't make
what perspective do they have? What wisdom do they have on those kind of situations? It's nothing. Absolutely nothing. All they do is, like, read scripture to you and give you pointless advice, fairy tale advice. It's completely nonsense.
Yeah, exactly. We're going to talk about the cross that there. It's a little late, but we're going to cover the 9/11 cross that they were going to put up.
It's not late. It's still ongoing.
Well, is it still ongoing? Okay.
Oh yeah.
Well, I mean, we're late in covering it. It's not September 11th. We're at the end of the month already, but this is an ongoing case. that they're trying to put across that they say, well, it was made naturally. No, it wasn't. It was made by men putting up a building. You think that maybe that when they put beams in a building that some of these cross beams are going to actually, you know, cross? That's the whole idea. And the thing is, when they pulled this out, they actually had people say, oh, this kind of looks like a cross. And so they made it shaped like a cross. Now, they said they would let other religions put in their stuff, except for atheists. We don't have a symbol, really, as it is, but except for, you know, the A. But they said it can only be made of materials that came from the site where everything happened. The problem here is that museums, as I understand it, have a rule that religious icons cannot be promoted in their museums. If I'm wrong, you know, let me know in the comments section below. Well,
it's publicly.
Yeah, it's publicly funded. Yes,
the memorial at the World Trade Center is going to be a public park.
Okay, it's a public park. Okay,
it's public land paid for by taxpayer money, and they're trying to put this religious icon, this religious relic, on that land, and just be like, oh, well, it's a part of 9/11. Oh, okay, well. You know.
Yeah. Well, if they do that, they should reflect all faiths.
Exactly. They said
that's what the lawsuit is claiming. They wanted to reflect all faiths, or just have the cross down the street in front of St. Peter's Church, where it's been for like the last, you know, 6 or 7 years.
Yeah.
Why can't you just have a park?
Yeah, that or just either put in all faiths or none, and I think none would be better personally.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Joe. I'm going to put 2 minutes up on the clock. Now, we're going to do something new tonight, is that we have a poll, and we're going to put it in the chat room. I'm going to start the poll right now. The question is, should religious icons be paid with tax dollars? It's either yes, no, or I don't know. So we've got a yes, and we've got a no.
Do you think a religious relic that was blessed by a reverend should be placed on public land with taxpayer dollars?
Yeah, that's the question. That's the question. I'm sorry. All right, I'm going to start the time now, Joe.
Oh, my time.
Yeah,
okay.
Your time.
All right. I mean, I'm a New Yorker. I live in upstate New York, and I go down to the city pretty often. And over the last 10 years since 9/11, and you know, even before 9/11, I've been down to the city countless times. I've been down to the World Trade Center site, and I actually saw the World Trade Center cross. It was mountain in front of St. Peter's Church on Church Street, and when I first saw it, I was like, oh, there it is. I read about that, and I felt good. I was like, all right, you know, that's a good place to have it, right there on the church land. You know, people who like it and respect it, they can come, they can see it, they can even reach through the fence and touch it. I touched it. I've touched the World Trade Center cross, so you can see it there. And now that they're opening the memorial, they're making the museum and the waterfall fountains, and they planted all the trees, and it's a memorial. It's a beautiful place. They moved it from the church land over to the public land, uh-huh. And they put it on the public land, and it cost, I think it was like $11,000 of taxpayer money to move it. They've welded a plaque to it that said that it was, you know, a religious relic, and it was blessed on such and such a date by Reverend so-and-so. So it's been, you know, it's been prayed over, and it's become a religious religious icon now. It's not just a steel crossbeam that happened to be in the World Trade Center rubble, of which there were many of these T-beams that broke off from the rubble, and many of these T-beams have been sent out to other parts of the country as cross memorials from the World Trade Center. And so, you know, you build a steel structure out of these T things, and it collapses, you're going to have a whole lot of them. And they do.
Yes.
They do. They just happen to pick one, and they're like, look, it's a miracle. God made it. God couldn't save 3,000 people from dying in a horrible terrorist attack, but he made a cross out of these steel beams that we built the building out of anyway.
Right, exactly. And that's time. I'll let
I
you go
get
a
few minutes.
Yeah, you only get 2 minutes. I let it go a few seconds.
I could go
longer.
On and on about this.
I'm sure you could.
Actually, I'm going to add one more thing outside of time. You said, is it still going on? Yes. On September 13th, the American Atheist filed an objection to the motion to dismiss the case because somebody tried to throw the case out on them, and they're fighting that.
Oh, jeez. All right. Medusa, you have... I'm going to restart the clock, and you have 2 minutes starting now.
Well, my answer is heck no. But I would praise more strongly than that. I mean, if it's become a religious icon now, it should be given a home at a religious site. Or they should put up the Star of David.
Uh-huh.
Or they should put up the sign of Islam. And that means that Muslims would be able to go to the park and pray mm-hmm. 5 times a day.
Uh-huh.
Do you realize what that would be?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the conundrum the city would be at that time. I mean, it just should be left as a park. A park is good enough, and a plaque that used to be enough for Americans, you know, to feel, I don't know, safe with after a tragedy of this mm-hmm. proportions. It gives you a touchstone of sorts. Why do we need to have a huge steel cross when, as Eric says, there's so many of them and there are plenty of churches that could take them and we can just make this a nice little park for people to go and visit at? Otherwise, I'm afraid this park is going to become a big area of contention.
Uh-huh.
Because I can see a lot of religious hate groups coming to this area, a lot of the snarky or atheists, you know, coming there. I can see just fights and not conciliation or peace happening in the park at all with all these different religious things. And I've always been a proponent of separation of church and state. And so the fact that this is on the hallowed ground of taxpayers' hard-earned money makes me even more incensed that they want to put this cross right there.
Yeah, and that's time. I let you go a few seconds because I let Joe go a few seconds longer too. So
can I add on what Medusa said?
Yeah, sure. Go ahead. We'll just give you.
And then I'll add on what Joe said.
Awesome. You said that they should also put a Jewish star. They have put a small cheesy Jewish star next to the 9/11 cross, so they can say, "Oh, look, we're being inclusive." But you know what? Muslims who weren't the hijackers also died in the World Trade Center.
Yes.
And so the people who are for the World Trade Center cross
mm-hmm.
are the same people who are against the Ground Zero Mosque, which wasn't even at Ground Zero. It's like 6 blocks away.
Yeah.
And these same people are like, no, we cannot allow a mosque at Ground Zero. Why would we? Blah, 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 blah. You know what's across the street from Ground Zero? Right across the street? It's a church that's been there for so long that George Washington went in there and prayed.
Mm-hmm.
And it's right across the street. So why can't a mosque be built 6 blocks away because of Muslim hatred? And why can't why can they put a Christian symbol in the 9/11 memorial and then throw a little, you know, Jewish memorial right next to it? There's the Jews. And then no way. Like, you know, why would we put a crescent moon in the 9/11 memorial? Absolutely not. I mean, Muslims died that day.
Yeah. I have a lot of friends of Middle Eastern descent, mm-hmm. and they would like to see something like that there to validate their experience. But because a lot of people are under the misnomer that, you know, radical Islamic elements were responsible for the destruction of the two towers, as Joe said, that's just bullcrap.
Yeah, it is. It really is.
It's just bullcrap. And I feel that the Middle Eastern people who are hardworking in this country, who are either born here or came here and went through the whole citizenship process, they deserve the same respect as any other religion.
Yes, exactly.
I don't like religion, but, you know, they don't come knocking on my door on Sundays.
Right. You know, the thing is, if they're going to, I think it's, I have the same sentiment as what they basically put out and said, if you're going to show one, show all, or don't show mm-hmm. any at all.
Exactly. And because there's so many religions, it's impractical to show all, which is why we shouldn't show any.
Exactly.
Religious organizations own their own property to put up their own monuments, their own statues, their own buildings. They can put all the monuments they want to the Ten Commandments or to the Crescent Moon or to the Star of David, all they want on their own land that they own. They don't need to go into the to the city park and stick a monument in the middle of it and say, there, because this is our country. Right. No.
That was not a religious event that happened on that day.
Right.
In the first place. So I don't see why we should commemorate it with religious iconography.
Right.
That just...
It was just an attack. It was a religious motivated attack, but
it was an act of hatred.
And it was an act of hatred, right? But it was religiously
motivated.
People with
the most faith that day were the 19 hijackers.
Exactly, and that's what they can't seem to get. They don't seem to get across is that the fact is that they say, oh well, the cross is religious and a whole nine yards, but it was religion that was caused this tragedy. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And you know, what the funniest part about this is the whole blessing of the cross. I mean, I could sit here and I could say some magic words over my iPhone. My phone is now blessed. Is it blessed? No, I said
yes,
a bunch of gibberish.
Yes, it is. You just blessed it.
I just blessed my phone.
Yabba
I just
dabba
blessed
do.
My phone. Yabba dabba
blessed
do.
Blessed be thy phone.
Blessed be the phone. What does it do? Did it make my phone more phonier or iPhonier? Did it make it go faster?
It means when you sell it online, you can get more money for
it.
Oh,
yeah.
It's a blessed iPhone.
I blessed my iPhone. An atheist blessed iPhone. Atheist blessed iPhone. On sale now.
If you can get it pried off the ground.
Right, exactly. But anyway,
right off the ground.
Yeah, we talked about that before. Remember, never mind. Inside baseball. if you would like to make a comment, put it in the comment section below, and this section will be up on YouTube, and we'll read your comments on the air. From the last one, we had over 50 views, and we had two pages of comments. I wish I could read them all. One of the comments that was made from the previous episode says they keep on framing a dictionary atheist as someone who only interested in atheism, but that's not what a dictionary atheist is. There is no atheist anywhere in the world who is interested in only in atheism. So when they are setting up straw men in order to demonize them and try to make themselves look good in comparison. And that's by Kevin Solway. Thank you, Kevin Solway, for the comment on the page. And hopefully they'll come and listen to the show. All right, let's get into our next topic. Our funny tweet tonight comes from Trooper TDK 421. He uses the hashtag I got drunk and told Vader that he had helmet head. I laughed, choked, and then threw up on his boots. Then I wonder why I'm stationed out at Tatooine.
Oh, God. That is funny. Agreed.
There's a lot of really funny Star Wars tweets on Twitter.
Yeah, there is.
Depressed Darth is so funny.
Oh, yeah, he is. I think we follow him on the Packer Pokes at WordPress, on Twitter. Joe, your thoughts?
I think I just offered my thoughts.
Okay.
It's hilarious.
I'm
going to
go with Medusa.
Just offered my thoughts.
Already offered.
Already offered. Okay.
Offered up.
All right. You already offered yours up, Medusa? Okay. That's fine.
Yes, sir.
You know what's funny about Star Wars on Twitter is the official Star Wars account from Lucasfilm actually follows and interacts with a lot of those comedy Star Wars accounts like Depressed Darth and Podracer or whatever. And like if you search Twitter and look for that, like they're always interacting with each other. It's pretty funny, which means you know some intern at Lucasfilm who is like, I can't believe they let me have the Twitter account for Star Wars. I'm gonna be so awesome. And they're like interacting with the fans. It's really cool. It's cool that they interact with the fans like that.
Oh, that's cool. All right, well, let's get into our next topic here.
Hey, you guys!
Our shout out tonight comes from Joe. And, Joe, your shout-out is for...
Marco the Atheist!
Marco underscore, that's M-A-R-C-O, underscore I-09. Joe,
I think it's 09.
Is it 09? Okay.
It looks like 09 to me.
It looks like an O. It might be a 0. I'm not really sure. You might have to type in both. It's either O or 0. It's M-A-R-C-O underscore I-09 or I-09. Joe, would you tell us a little bit about Marco?
Sure. Marco's profile says he is demanding proof of all religions' legitimacy. How offensive you find my tweets, I inversely proportional to your rationality. I think I just read that completely fucked up. But anyway, the cool thing about Marco is he's a regular on the atheist and atheism hashtags.
Mm-hmm.
And he's best known for making these really great I am tweets where he'll be like, I am religion. And he'll speak in the point of view of I am religion and therefore blah 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 blah. I am faith, blah 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 blah. I am God, blah 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 blah. I am atheism, blah 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 blah. And his I am tweets are so great and they're so poetic and they're so awesome. And I've actually complimented him on them and I'm just like, dude, man, your I am tweets are just they're just great. Oh, cool. And he's like, oh, thank you. He's very gracious. He's like, oh, thank you, thank you. But yeah, he's definitely worth a follow if you like atheism tweets and definitely check him out.
Yeah, definitely. If you're not on Twitter, why aren't you? Give Marco a follow. It's MARCO_I09 or MARCO_I09. You might want to check that out.
I'm sure it's 09.
It's 09? Okay. Well, we'll go with 09. Give him a follow on Twitter and let him know you heard him on the show. Let's get into our next topic.
Excuse me.
I have a question,
sir.
What are you doing? I'm asking you a question.
Our question from last week was if you could bring into reality any mythological or fictional creature, what would it be and what would you do with it? We had a couple replies. We had one from Dawkins Dog. He said, I'd like to bring into reality Mitt Romney because I'd like to see how he would survive there. And we had one from Wizard of Todd. I would bring back the Witch of Cersei so I could permanently be porked. # feeling punny.
Todd. Todd.
Question for this week is from Medusa. It says, if the Gutenberg press were never invented, how technologically advanced do you think we would be today, and how would it be different? Joe, if the Gutenberg press were never invented, how technologically advanced do you think it would be today, and how would it be different?
When I read this question, I was like, wow, that's a great question, Medusa. Awesome.
Thank you, honey.
It is an interesting thing to ponder. Like, let's say we didn't have books.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say Gutenberg never, you know, it was like, all right, movable type. Ah, fuck that. And went out and got drunk instead. You know, I mean, let's say books never came to be.
Yeah.
Where would we be right now? I mean, books and literacy have spread ideas and knowledge that have changed and continues to change the world. And without it, I think we'd still be in the Dark Ages.
Yes.
We'd still be burning witches and infidels at the stake. We'd still be, you know, looking at the sky and thinking that thunder and lightning is something that is some god that's angry.
Yeah, you know, it's very possible.
That the sunshine is the love of God, you know.
Yeah.
It's kind of scary. Like when books were first being mass produced, mm-hmm. that was like the explosion of the internet.
Yeah. It's very well possible.
Because, you know, before that, it was only an elite class of society that was literate and most of them were in the clergy anyway.
Exactly.
So the common people had no way of communicating over great distance or learning new ideas. They just knew what they knew in front of them. They knew how to raise their animals, grow crops, have kids. That's all they knew. That's right. All they knew.
Yep.
That was a human existence.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Good long answer.
Sorry about that. Sorry.
I knew Joe would run with that one because he knew about the library at Alexandria.
Right. Well, Medusa, if the Gutenberg press were never invented, how technologically advanced do you think we would be today and how would it be different?
I think we would have come up with some form of communication. I just don't know how efficient it would have been compared to what we have nowadays.
Uh-huh.
The Egyptians had their manner of writing and keeping records. The Greeks did, as did the Romans. So, as Joe said, that was an elite group of scribes and priests who generally wrote those histories and so forth.
Uh-huh.
And so I mean, I look around me, you guys, and I live in a library. And, you know, I don't have a Nook or a Kindle or a tablet. I have a real library with 10,000 books. And mm-hmm. and when I want to reference something, you know, it's been fine-tuned to my interests, so I know where to go. You know, and when the internet fails, and someday it will, and the apocalypse is coming, I will be a library for people to flock to.
Okay, like we have any other libraries anywhere else.
No, but if it's as Joe said, we're just in your own area and you're isolated, think how valuable a library would be.
Yeah.
Even a small library.
Sure.
And Thomas Jefferson's library, which was considered to be large at the time, consisted of about 700 to 900 books.
Uh-huh.
That's in the Library of Congress now. So
mm-hmm.
never
mm-hmm.
underestimate the power of a library.
Right.
Thank you, Joe. You did better than I did.
Or
the power of literacy.
Yeah,
just the ability to read. Then you can pick
mm-hmm.
up ideas from across the globe.
Yes, exactly. If the Gutenberg press were never invented, how technology advanced would you think would be today, and how would it be different? I think that if one of the things I think would be is that we would not have the capability of flight, for one, because
wow.
a lot of stuff, for example, is written down, and we would have to be try to figure this stuff out. I mean, you would have to scribe everything. If we did have flight at all, it would be almost like the Wilbur and Orville Wright of airplanes, and trying to get everything out, it would be next to impossible. And technology that like computers and whatnot and communications would be non-existent. Everything would have to go by letter carrier. I don't know if we would even have wire for anything else, or any electrical for that matter. But I'm trying to keep it short. Keep going. No, that's all right.
We would have the flying car, because there would be no
We don't have the flying car now. What are you talking about?
No, so that's the cause. We have books, but we don't have the flying car. It's a trade-off. We can't fly through the sky in a car because, damn it, books were invented.
Right. All right. Well, if you have an answer to the question for this week, put it in the comment section here below. And if you do, we'll give you a read on for next week's show. Okay. That's it for us tonight. We ran a little long, but that's okay. Not like we've ever ran long before. It just gives me more editing to do. if you would like to contact us, we're all on Twitter. And if you're not on Twitter, why aren't you? Contact Joe on Twitter as?
Joe Unseen, JoeUnseen.
Right. If you would like to contact Medusa on Twitter, she is on Twitter as?
Medusa Rants, MEDUSA_RANTZ.
Right. If you would like to contact me, it's you can contact me as Packard Sonic. That's PACKARD_SONIC. If you'd like to get the show notes, it's at PackardPokesat.wordpress.com. If you'd like to follow the Twitter announcement for when the show comes out, and the episodes and the segments up on YouTube, it's at PackardPokesat on Twitter, all one word, no spaces. And if you're at PackardPokesat.wordpress.com, reading those show notes for everything we covered tonight, there's a donation button on the side. If you could press the donation button, put a few dollars in there, and helps me keep the lights on and keeps the internet flowing and the show going as well. And if you can't afford anything, there's a link on the page. You have to copy and paste it because due to the rules that WordPress has, I can't post it as a clickable link. So just copy and paste it. It'll take you right back to packardpokesat.wordpress.com. You will have to watch a commercial for about or some ads for about 7 seconds. I mean, 7 seconds for a few pennies, or half pennies, I should say, is worth your time to help the show out.
Well spent.
It's well spent, yes. Well, this has been Packard Pokesat. We just poked at your news.
And that's a wrap.